Cancer Month, and to start 2026, I wanted to not only bring in a person who can personally speak about the subject, but is also very close to me personally. Devin Lyons, who I usually introduce as my goddaughter, has been a part of my life, along with my wife Rita's, since the day she was born. Rewind 36 years ago. She is the sun and the moon to both of us, and can only be explained as the kindest, most thoughtful human being on this earth. You may be familiar with her as playing the role of Mrs. Claus the past two Schenectady holiday parades and on the Stan and Friends podcast late last year talking about that role. Today, the subject is meaningful, but also sensitive. So listeners, be aware that this is an adult conversation. Devin shares her journey, her fears, her own bravery, and it's not surprising that she has a strong desire to help others, many women that she has never met. It is my absolute pleasure to introduce you to Devin Lyons as she tells me her story. So happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So we're kicking off 2026.
Yep.
And New Year is look ahead, the reflection, the resolutions, mm-hmm. and things like that. And you posted, I think on the 1st.
On the 1st.
You reposted a Facebook post that you had. So that's what I'm here to talk about. Because it's a big month. And like I said, when I texted you, I said, we know April's a big month because it's your birthday. But
April is also autism awareness. So that's a double whammy for me.
So again, in the preview leading into this, I already said, you know, this is not, it's important, it's dynamically important, but it's not, it'll probably still be some fun and games, but it's a very adult subject. So I already prefaced that for anyone tuning in, listening.
Yeah.
That this is different from the normal fun and game, stand and friends type of thing, because it's a topic that's impactful personally, professionally, emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little heavy to start January, but it's still so important that the world should know more about why January is so important. So let's just, why is January important? What is January for you?
January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and that is what makes it most important to me. It's something I never even knew was a month. It's not one of the cancers that are very often spoken about, like your October for breast cancer and those types of things. I didn't know that that was a thing until it became a personal thing. So now every year I make it a big deal, and I make sure that that's the time that I'm sharing my story the most, but I make sure to share it year round, just little reminders here and there when I can.
So this is, and this is where it gets interesting, because in that demographic as an old white male, again, what the heck, why is Stan even doing this? But as our lives have crossed,
mm-hmm.
you obviously firsthand, and then myself secondhand, very aware of the intricacies and the struggles within the human body, but in particularly the female body is so different. And at the same token, part of that is as a loving husband and friend and family member, you know, things become much more aware and much more important because they get overlooked by society. And I think that was kind of like part of your driving force on awareness for Cervical Cancer Month. So I've said for 2026, I wasn't going to cry on the podcast. I wasn't going to get choked. That's my new, that was one of my resolutions. So
there
we're going to see if I blow this in the first
one. I'll see if I can handle it.
So it's, together, the four of us, myself and Rita, and you and Sean, are, we put the stamp on the vows of sickness and in health.
Yeah, 1,000%.
We, that was not lost on us at any time.
No.
You know, Farida and I, you know, it was a thing during when we were married all those years ago, magic number being 36.
Yep.
Because you're 36 is one reason I remember.
Yes, exactly.
But then after that, shortly, you know, found out what that really meant. And then for you, you know, early on in your relationship with Sean, and then...
That was actually before we got married, all of this happened. So we weren't even married yet, and he was keeping the vow. So
yep, he was there.
I'm pretty lucky.
So let's just dive right in and tell me, tell us about, you know, your life, how it's been on this journey into and through this disease, condition, disease. It's cancer.
Yeah. I'd say a little bit of both, depending on which part you're looking at. But from early on, I appreciate you letting me talk about it because it's not a glamorous topic. And I feel like that's one of the reasons why I decided to use my voice and talk about it, because I'm not, like, for me, it's not uncomfortable. It's awareness. So I, from a very early age, I would say like 17-ish, I was consistently having abnormal pap smears, which I won't get into the details of what that is. I'm sure you know what it is. But when you have an abnormal pap smear, that leads to, normally your doctor will want to do what is called a colposcopy. That's where they're taking biopsies off of your cervix to remove those abnormal cells that came up in your pap smear. So, and then they're testing those for cancer and those types of things. And let me back up a little bit. I am not a doctor. This is, I'm telling you the way that I've learned it and that I understand it. So I just want to preface by saying that I'm not a doctor. But I had to go through so many of those in my life. It was pretty much year after year or every other year at the least. They're not, any woman that's ever been through them, you're awake, you're not numb, you're just there, they're painful, they're uncomfortable. And I got to where I became very anxious every year when it was just time to go for my annual appointment, which I know for a lot of people, that appointment in itself, they're like, nope. Cause that it's not, I mean, is it the most comfortable thing in the world? No, but it's much more manageable. But then to know that going there may lead to you having to go through a colposcopy, it's stressful. And it became a thing every year where I had to like force myself to make the appointment, go to the appointment. Like getting there was such a feat for me. Like I wanted nothing to do with it because I knew what it was probably going to mean. And I finally got my case, my medical case got transferred to an incredible doctor out of the Saratoga OBGYN, Dr. Noller. She's amazing. And she took over my case. And I just got to the point when I was, see, I'm 36 now. I would have been 34, I think. 34, 33, something like that, where I wanted to, I said, like, what else can we do? Because I can't keep going through this every single year, having to do this procedure every single year. And she said, no, I agree. So we scheduled a LEAP, which a LEAP is done, they can be done in office, but I had asked to do it under general anesthesia at the hospital. And that's a quick in and out. They're basically removing a layer off of your cervix, which should remove the layer that is holding those cells that are a problem. And so I'm somebody, one of my biggest fears in life is anesthesia. I hate the idea of it. But like, once again, for my health, I push myself through that. And I'm like, all I gotta do is get done with this and we're good, and I'm done. And had the procedure done, it really wasn't that big of a deal. The healing process was quick. In my brain, I closed the book. And then I got the phone call that nobody ever wants to get. And I will never forget the day. I was at work and I saw that it was them calling, and my assumption was she was just calling to check up on me, because in my brain, I was all done. Like, I did what I had to do and I'm done. And she was calling to let me know that how, first of all, she said that I'm incredibly lucky. She said I must have someone watching over me, and I can think of a few people, because they found, the lucky part is not that they found cancerous cells. The lucky part is that they found them, because the only reason they found them was because they did the leap and they were that much further in where they were visible, or who's to say when they would have ever found those. So for me, as soon as she said that it was stage zero, so it just means that we caught it like way, way, way super early, which is ideally what you want and why we do all of these preventative care things. And after she said the C word that nobody wants to hear, I think I blacked out after that. But I don't really remember. She gave me some options, and one of them was to monitor it. And, you know, especially being the age I was, because the other option is a hysterectomy. And her thing was if I wanted to have more children. But I have my two beautiful children, and I have my stepdaughter, and I am perfectly happy with the family I have. So for me, whatever it needed to do to get rid of it, or hopefully get rid of it, that was no question. And so I got off the phone with her, and my first phone call was to my husband, because I was literally panicking. And then I went down the line to my core people, and that was my mom and my dad and you and Rita. And then we went from there. So
I don't think you can describe the anxiety, talking about this post, of just the process of anesthesia. I think that was number one. That was more than anything.
Yeah, for me, yes. I have a huge fear of not knowing, like not having control of what I'm doing physically, mentally, with my body and mind. And so the idea that like they give you something that, and I understand why they do it, because no, who would want to be awake to do something like that? But it's just that part for me, that, and then just, I went from November was my leap to March was my hysterectomy. So in that whole time, I knew that that was in my body, and you can't see it, you can't feel it. Like, and so what is it doing? Is it growing? Is it spreading? Is it like having all of those fears? And that's where I leaned on my husband and my family, because it was a really scary couple of months in my life. And I come January, when I realized, you know, what the month was, I said to myself, you know what, like if I gave in to my fears in my life, where all of those times I had to go get those colposcopies done, and because that's a whole nother appointment. So not only was I afraid to go to the regular one, once I had a colposcopy, I mean, that was even worse. Like, I never wanted to go to those. If I gave in to my fears and anxieties, like, who knows what would have happened? Like, I don't even want to think about it, because honestly, like, that's why these appointments are so important. And it's important to go even when you're afraid, or, you know, that you know that it's going to be uncomfortable, or whatever the case may be, because you never know it. You can't see it, you can't feel it. And cervical cancer, my understanding is it's one of the most preventable, curable cancers, because it's a slow spreader. But that only applies if you're going to these routine annual preventative appointments. Or for, like, in my case, I was in a period for a while where I had to go every 6 months because I was a higher risk. And if that's your case, then show up every 6 months because you don't know what it's doing. But in those months for me, knowing it was in my body, I was afraid, but I also trusted my doctor. And if she felt that it needed to come out immediately, she would have done that. So I kind of held that as my, you know, security blanket through the whole thing, between that and then just my family keeping me busy and happy. So
part of your message, like, you didn't wait until all of this was done. You, on your own Facebook page, you were right out there and sharing, this is me, this is my story.
Mm-hmm. I was in the middle of it, in the thick of it.
And I'm, you know, and you as a young woman, you're like, I go every year, you know, and every guy who's out there has seen any movie or any Friends episode where you know the deal.
Yep.
You know, and again, guys have one or two things to worry about that we get nervous mm-hmm. about every year.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nothing. It is absolutely. And again, I just got my annual in December, so I can talk about this.
That's important, too. I've stressed that in my posts as well, that man or woman, preventative care.
Because literally, jokingly, but all sincerity, firsthand,
yep.
I know the drill.
Yeah.
And I always joke that I've got to send my doctor flowers when I'm done.
Yeah.
But it's nothing.
No.
It is nothing compared to what every female should be going through, unfortunately, because that's just the deal. There's no
the way it is.
There's no, we're not AI, MRI, some initials. We can see everything now. Just stand over there by the wall. And so it's evasive.
Yep, it is.
It's uncomfortable. It's evasive. It's god awful.
Yep.
So I feel for you for that. But again, your story was, I do this every year.
Yep.
I have to do this now more than once a year because of this. And for the past, these two appointments have come up, I'm okay.
Yep.
The minute it came up that we have a problem, you were right on Facebook. You were like, this is me.
Yep.
I've done everything I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Non-drinker, non-smoker, da-da-da. I mean, there's nothing you do.
I literally don't. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I've never done a drug in my life. My body is very pure.
And you are the Snow White and the sun and the moon to all of us in the family. And it's like, and this is as the family. And again, you know, if you yourself have not been impacted by cancer personally or through someone you love, you're the luckiest person on the face of this earth.
You are. I'm telling you, like, when I tell you that I was panicking and I knew that I needed to call my core people, I also then became emotional because I felt horrible that I had to tell my husband and my dad and my mom and my brothers and you guys that information. And I'm like it's not my fault, but like, I don't want to, like, I felt horrible having to call and say, this is what's going on. And I struggled with that because I'm like, I don't want to make anybody sad, but like it, like you said, like it, you're so lucky if it's never impacted you in any way, because it's horrible.
So you go through and make the calls, and you have to make the calls because it's better than the wrath.
Right.
The infamous. Oh, by the way, this happened 3 months ago, but I'm fine. Which is like, are you kidding me? Yeah, because there's guilt, reverse guilt, because what could we have done? What, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody was there the entire
time.
And
we are that family, too. Like, I know my family is the type that they want to know yesterday rather than finding out when it's all said and done.
What's the date? So. What time?
Right.
What time? Because you have to call to find out what time you have to go in.
That's right.
So that's another phone tray.
Uh-huh.
So you get that news, but then, as I said, you immediately went on your own Facebook page, and the message was so clear that you were sharing this not for Devin.
No.
You were sharing this for every other woman.
Yes.
And girl that you grew up with to say, gang, this is real. We need to do this, was your message.
Yes. It was never about me. It was never about, and I remember prior to doing it, like, I was talking to Sean, like, this is what I want to do. Like, what do you think? And of course, you know, he supported that 1,000,000%. But like, I said, it's not, if I can take something negative that happened to me and utilize it to flip it and help people and relay that message, that importance, like, there's no question, because I do all the right things. I take care of myself in every way possible, and yet here I am. So.
And I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you tell us what was the response, because that's what is so incredible.
Yeah. So I didn't really have any idea like what would happen with it. And I was putting myself in, obviously, what is a very like vulnerable, I don't do stuff like that. Like, I'm not the parent that when my kids are sick, I'm like, oh, here's my, you know, my kids have the flu, or like, I keep all of that. My posts are food and family and kids and happiness and love. And so for me, this was a very different post than anything I've ever posted. So I didn't know what was going to happen. And I mean, it was a video that had thousands of views and so many comments. And I had so many people reaching out to me personally that were those people that, or at that point, were those people that were afraid and hadn't gone. And oh my gosh, I haven't been in 6 years. And, you know, thank you so much for putting this out there. I really need to take the time for myself and do this for my kids and my family. And because, God forbid, like, hopefully you get to be the person that goes and you go in and they do your exam and you don't hear from them until it's time for your next appointment and you just keep going with that routine. But in case you're not, that's where you need to, like, everybody should be going, because it's that one time where all of those times in my past that I've had that done, the abnormal cells that they've taken biopsies have come back, obviously not cancerous. So, but I still did it. And it was just that one time where it did. And so it just became this, and I still have people that reach out to me. And I ended up going through, I shared that post, and then I went through the whole process, because I'm like, I want to be transparent, and I want to share what is going on. And I've had people that reached out that had to have hysterectomies for different reasons, and they're wondering, you know, what that was like, and or just it's the day of their appointment, and they're feeling anxious and nervous, and they're reaching out to me, and I love that. Like, I love that I can be that person that, like, is saying, like, you need to do this. Like, because not everybody has the support system that I do. And I think that was a big push for me, was that I recognize that. Like, I'm very lucky to have my family and my husband and everybody be so, like, encouraging and supporting. Because there's been times that I've had two colposcopies when I've been with Sean, and he'll tell you both times I was like, I got very emotional, very afraid, I don't want to go, and he brought me and he encouraged me to go, and, you know, told me, like, I keep telling myself, I got to the point I timed it, because I'm like, I need to know how many minutes it takes, because I need to know that, be able to tell myself, like, I can do anything for, and it was like about 20 minutes. I can do anything for 20 minutes. All I have to get through is 20 minutes. And I would sit there and I would just keep telling myself that, like, even if it's painful, I can handle pain for 20 minutes. And he would remind me of those things that I would tell myself and, you know, to encourage myself. And I would flip that and deliver that message to whomever reached out to me. And then I got to do a wonderful story with the Gazette last year as well with it. So,
and that's what I was going to say, because, you know, everything is self-serving on the Stan and Friends podcast, but, you know, again, mutual friends, Indiana, yeah. Nash,
yep.
You know, and again, I asked you for permission,
yep,
before I talked to Indiana.
Yep.
And, the second meeting,
yep,
because Indiana was here to talk about Mia's cookie jar.
She was, yep.
And then this, and the process was, I had the idea. I talked to Rita. She said, absolutely. And then I talked to the staff and I'm like, the only person I want to write this story is Indiana, you know, who just became a new mother.
Yep.
And, you know, that decision, because, you know, she is younger than you.
Yep.
And God forbid, you know, the choice she may have to make and consider this and things like that.
Yep.
But just her writing style and just her as an individual, I was like, this is the right person to do it.
Yep.
And it was wonderful. And then we'll attach it in the notes.
She did a great job. This. Yep.
And being here. And then we come around full circle. So post leap, got married.
Post hysterectomy. Yes, I had a goal that was part of my wedding vows. I said my goal was to be standing there on my wedding day with a clean bill of health, and I was. My hysterectomy was March 7th, so my wedding was in May.
That's right.
So I was fully healed, and I had gotten the I had a meeting with my doctor, and like they had tested everything and nothing residual was left behind. And which I guess brings me to current, because I kind of went, okay, so now what? Like, I don't have anything left in there. So, you know, you think about your annual appointment, and I am that question asker. I ask 9 million questions when I'm there, but I had said that to her, like, so now what? Because I don't, like, what would you be checking? And she said that those cancerous cells can grow in other, like, you still have like your vaginal wall, they can grow there. Obviously still checking your ovaries, and you know, on your annual exam they always do the breast check, which that's another whole category of importance. So I went back, and again, I was so excited to go this year, because I'm like, there's nothing there. I don't have anything left, and it's all going to be wonderful. And I had an abnormal result again. And if I can explain to you the feeling of defeat that I felt, I don't think I can put that into words, because I'm like, I literally do everything. Everything I've been told to do, I do it. And so it was, again, I needed to go for a colposcopy, and I'm like, are you kidding me? What could possibly be there? And it ended up being that I went again with the help of my husband. He went with me, and there, once she got in there, and I mean, she did a very thorough look. There was nothing, no cells that needed to be biopsied, which is great. Like, that was a great, so I didn't end up having to have any biopsies, which is the painful part, but I still went through all of that anxiety and panic, and I still went. That's the key point. I still went. And now I'm on like a natural preventative treatment. It's like a new study that actually mushroom extract and folic acid are known to kind of hopefully help keep those cells in check. And I'll go back and recheck in 6 months from when I was there last, which I think is actually coming up pretty quick here. I got to check my calendar. But even when you think you're good, like, you got to still stay on top of your health, because you never know. You just never know.
How much has it become a part of the conversation with the women in your life, and is it geared more towards the younger women who probably, I'll put it off till next year because I'm under a certain age?
Yes.
Or do you find that women older than you are just part of a routine, and in a sense, because of the process, again, apologetically, resign themselves to the annual?
Yep.
So are you trying to get the message to women your age and younger, because you think, is that a demographic you think is going to skip?
I think I can tell you from the majority of the people that reached out, in the sense of, I haven't gone in X amount of years, or I don't go because I don't like going, or I had to have a colposcopy once and I'll never go back. Those attitudes and mindsets are from people my age or younger. I think what I'm getting from like an older demo, Devin Plus is more women that they're either sharing that they're like their daughters who are my age had gone through something similar, or they had gone through something similar, like in more so in comparison to the surgery. A hysterectomy is a much more common surgery for like say 50 or above. It's very less common for someone my age to have to have that surgery but there's many, many different reasons that you could need that surgery. So a lot of them were kind of reaching out more so in the sense of experience with that particular surgery to try and help me, but like before I had it done. I would say the people that aren't going, it is more my age or younger. Yep.
What do we gotta do? What are we gonna do?
To date, we haven't been able to stop cancer.
No, unfortunately, no.
And I know it's a moonshot for a couple different administrations, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yep.
And hopefully in my lifetime, because it's a lot shorter than yours, but in your lifetime, yeah. And definitely your daughter's.
Yep.
What can be done? What needs to be done? What do you think?
I stick to what I've always said is making your appointments and showing up for yourself and the people that love and care about you, because at the end of the day, you have the best shot by being at those preventative care appointments, especially in the realm. I mean, that goes for all, like I said, for men, for what they've got to do, and your mammograms for breast cancer and all of those things, they're there for a reason. And like I had a conversation with Dr. Noller, and I said to her, like, I promise I'm never going to stop sharing my story. And every time I see her, she gives me the biggest like heartfelt hug because she's grateful, because my story is, you know, it's why they push. Like she said that, I'm pretty sure she had some kind of something in the Gazette article about like, that's why they push those preventative appointments, because I am the ideal outcome. Yeah, so just my doctor, like that was her biggest thing, was that, that's why they push that, because ideally they want to catch it at stage zero, because it's much easier to do what they got to do at that point. Like I never had to go through chemo or radiation or anything of that nature, and I'm incredibly grateful for that, because we caught it so early because of my preventative care appointments. And it was all removed. So.
All right.
That's the best thing I could say, is show up for yourself and your health. And because you don't want to be the one that ignores it and has it grow to something more.
And show up for the other idiots in the family. Right?
Yeah. Right.
Because we all want you here too.
Right. Right. I said that. Like that was, you know, when you... And I'm sure, you know, whoever's listening that has either had cancer personally affect them themselves or someone that they love, like those are all the things that you like that roll through your mind in the initial like hearing that. I said, I'm whatever needs to be done to get rid of it. Like I was prepared to do whatever that was, because the alternative is just not an option. And I feel the same goes for going to these appointments. Like the alternative, the potential that you have something, like I said, you can't see it, you can't feel it. If there's something there and it's turning into something more, like that should never be a choice. You should never decide to not go because, oh, well, you know, I feel fine. I felt fine. I take care of myself. But here we are. So
was there, not to get heavy, but two things as the sirens go by. It's like we're downtown Schenectady.
Yeah.
Was there any point you were mad? Like, why me? Like,
yeah.
Because of everything you do as a human being
1,000%
is like a ray of sunshine, and no one, and for people that haven't met you, you don't know what you're missing.
Yes. So I 1,000%. Like, I expressed that anger many times to Sean, I think, because like it was like that emotional anger where, like, you know, you're crying, but you're angry. It was that anger because I do know, like, I exercise regularly. I'm, you know, very like in
you're
shape
too
and
thick for words.
I don't like, I take in such good care. And more importantly, I am someone that shows up to every single one of these appointments, even though I know how much I dread them and I know how much I'm afraid of them. So to have all that, and like, and when I talk about the leap, like, for me, I shut the book after that. Like, I'm done. I did it. I got through it. Yay me. We're done. And then, nope, you're not done. Just kidding. Like, it was like, though, I did. I definitely, it was anger because I do take care of myself, and I take pride in taking care of myself and showing up for myself. And it's not even really, it's my family, my kid. I have my three little children and, you know, all of the people that love me. Like, that's my driving force of what I show up and how I get to all these in a good, well, I don't want to call it good mental state, but I'm there. That's the goal, is you're there.
And then when you are at this point in time through it, you know, through, you're on the other side.
Yep.
Was there a reflection that it's good that it was me because I now have a mission?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a huge part of my, like, healing from a physical and a mental standpoint, like, emotional. I, like, knowing that I had all of these people reaching out, and I've always made sure to, like, that's always kept private. Like, I don't share that stuff with anybody. And because I am grateful that they're feeling comfortable enough to reach out to me, whomever they are. And so, I've always said that, you know, God only gives you things that you can handle, and, you know, there's always a reason. And in moments where you are feeling angry and mad, you might not understand, like, what that reason is. And that's kind of where I shifted my mind after getting the news that they found cancer. I said, I can sit here and be angry about it, or I can use it and do something good. And that's where I felt that was the reason. And that was my reason and my purpose. And I promised myself, I'm going to just keep on talking about it to whomever wants to listen. So.
All right. Hopefully a lot of people listen.
I hope so, because it's important. And, you know, spread the word and reach out to the women in your life and be that person. Call your friends up and say, hey, did you schedule your pap smear? Be that guy. It's not a bad thing. I'm telling you, it's important. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me talk about it.
For the millionth time.
Yeah.
And our time together.
Yep.
All 36 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. That is Devin Lyon's story, which is incredibly heartfelt and so important. And it hit again because for Christmas, mm-hmm. you gave Rita and I the aqua ribbon.
I did.
For Cervical Cancer Month.
Yep.
And that's when it rang again because, again, I don't want to say out of sight, out of mind, but then it dawned on me again,
mm-hmm.
like, why this ribbon's important. And then your post, and then I'm like, we got to do this.
Yeah.
We got to get the word out. Because it's important to everyone,
yep.
and every woman in my life and that I come in contact with. I don't want to lose anybody. I'm very selfish. I'm an only child. Mm-hmm. I want to lose no one.
Right.
That's, you know, my only child, narcissistic, you know, in, you know, wrong thinking, magical thinking as a child.
Yep.
As I am still. That I don't lose anyone. Yep. I don't want to lose it for something that could be preventable.
It is, yeah. And that's one of the reasons I was so grateful to the Gazette. Like you said, it's one of those out of sight, out of mind things. It's not heard of and talked about as much, if at all. I watch local news stations every morning and, you know, the radio, and like in October, you hear breast cancer, breast cancer, breast cancer. And I love that. But then like this type of a cancer is also incredibly preventable and incredibly common. And it's not talked about. So when you had reached out about the Gazette putting it out there, I'm like, wow, good for them for like recognizing that it needs to be put out there because it's important. So shout out to the Gazette.
Well, just thank you for being you for all these years and the joy and love. And this is an extension of you, is this post on Facebook, these very personal Facebook post and then repost is you. Mm-hmm. It's important to you because you love everyone you come in contact with. And that's why this is important that this message continues to get out.
Yes.
And women take advantage, you know, and return. If they haven't, please return. Please make that call.
Yes.
Please.
Your OBGYN will be forever grateful. I promise. That's what they're hoping for. Because they can help you if you do the right things for yourself. So.
All right.
Cool.
We're getting out of here.
Yeah.
All right.
Love you. Sounds good. Love you.
I can't thank Devin enough for sharing her story and being the caring woman that she is. Please make your appointments, keep your appointments, and lean on the people in your circle. They will be there for you. Please subscribe to my Tell Me Your Story podcast, along with others, including Stan and Friends and the Stan and Chen Show, available on all your favorite podcast listening platforms. My close today comes from the Stan and Chen Show, and it goes, love your life. It's the only one you've got.